Would everyone in the Senate gallery and Senate chamber please rise for a prayer by Reverend Gawk, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
From the ninth psalm we hear, I give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart. I will tell of all your wonderful deeds. Gracious God, as we gather to fulfill our constitutional requirements, we are mindful of this day and the tragedy that struck the United States in 2001. Remember the lives that were lost and the suffering of so many physically and many more emotionally. We all give thanks for the leadership you provided then and continue even today as you have raised up men and women to guide our time here. So we are truly thankful to you to be here to this day and do what is required of us, and we rejoice in this time together. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senators Arthur, Bernsgetter, Brown, Burleson, Searpoy, Crawford, Cunningham, Curls, Eigel, Emery, Hageman, Holzman, Hoskins, Huff, Koenig, Leibla, Lucht-Meyer, May, Nasheed, O'Loughlin, Onder, Riddle, Rizzo, Romine, Rowden, Sater, Schatz, Shoup, Sifton, Wallingford, Walsh, White, Whelan, Williams.
Senator from Butler is here. A quorum has been established. The Senate is in session. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the benefit of the body, Hunter Baxter from the Missouri Times, Sally N.C. and Julie Smith from the News Tribune, and Kermit Miller have been granted access, permission to take photos and videos in the chamber today.
Thank you, Senator. They shall be so noted.
Mr.
Senator
President.
From, Senator from Boone.
Mr. President, I request a moment of personal privilege.
The Senator from Boone County has requested a moment of personal privilege. Senator, please proceed.
18 years ago, America suffered the most evil and vicious act of terror ever committed on U.S. soil. The events of September 11, 2001 will forever be remembered as a turning point in our nation's history. If it wasn't already clear, it was made abundantly clear on that day that some around the world hated the idea of freedom and liberty so much that they were willing to try and do whatever it took to destroy this beacon of hope that is the United States of America. Nearly 3,000 people were killed on that fateful day, moms and dads and children, cousins, grandmas and grandpas, innocently going about their day only to be thrust into the course of history in a way they never deserved. These men and women are owed a tremendous debt of gratitude, and we offer our prayers to their families as they remember their loved ones on this September 11th. Mr. President, we're here today in the Missouri Senate for our constitutional obligation of veto session, a place known both for civility and discourse while also marked at times by partisanship. And I would never expect us to completely rid ourselves of our principled partisan stances, but I challenge everyone listening to me today to remember the feelings that we felt on September 12th, 2001, and the days and weeks that followed. Partisanship wasn't our first thought, and it really wasn't anywhere on our radar. I have watched many times, and I know you have too, the video of President George Bush throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium just a short time after 9/11. There were tens of thousands of onlookers that stood to their feet and applauded the president as he walked to the mound, and undoubtedly many of them did not share the same letter behind their name, and undoubtedly many of them didn't vote for President Bush. But on that day and in that season of our country's history, we were not a nation divided, but we were a nation united. Behind the idea that while some around the world may seek to destroy our nation and its ideals, we would not let them succeed. And indeed, they did not, and they have not, and they will not. So today, I would ask for a moment of silence to commemorate those who gave their lives on 9/11 and challenge us all to never forget that while there are many things that we disagree on, the foundational ideals of our nation's founding and upbringing, life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, are ideals that we can join together inside and outside of this chamber to champion and celebrate. Thank you, Mr. President.
Would the members of the Missouri Senate please rise for a moment of silence? Thank you, Senator. Thank you, members. Senator from Boone.
President, without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of resolutions.
Hearing no objection, the order of business will be resolution. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a resolution. I am sending it forward, and I ask that it be read.
Please send your resolution forward. Madam Secretary, please read the resolution.
Senate Resolution Number 1, be it resolved by the Senate that the Secretary of Senate inform the House of Representatives that the Senate is duly convened and is now in session as provided by Article 3, Section 32 of the Constitution and is ready for the consideration of its business.
Senator from Boone.
Mr. President, this is the resolution formally calling us into this veto session. I move that the resolution be adopted.
Senator from Boone has moved for the adoption of the resolution. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close. Senator from Boone renews his motion for the adoption of Senate Resolution Number 1. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The resolution has been adopted. Senator from Boone.
President, I have another resolution. I'm sending it forward, and I ask that it be read as well.
Please send your resolution forward. Madam Secretary, please read the resolution.
Senate Resolution Number 2, be it resolved by the Senate that the rules of the Senate as adopted by the 100th General Assembly, first regular session, be declared to be the rules of the veto session of the 100th General Assembly.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is allowing us to operate under the rules of the regular session, and I move that the resolution be adopted.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Senator from Boone renews his motion that Senate Resolution Number 2 be adopted. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the resolution. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you inquire from the Secretary if there are messages from the Governor? And if so, I ask that the reading be waived and that the messages be printed in the journal.
There are messages from the Governor. The reading shall be waived, and they will be printed in the journal. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate proceed to the order of business of vetoed bills and that the calendar be called.
Hearing no objection, the order of business shall be vetoed. Order of business shall be vetoed bills.
Conference Committee Substitute Number 2 for House Committee.
First bill is Conference Committee Substitute Number 2 for House Committee Substitute for Senate Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 147. Hearing no motion, the chair now calls Conference Committee Substitute for House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 202. Hearing no motion, the chair now calls House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 282. Hearing no motion, the chair now calls Senate Substitute for Senate Bill Number 414. Hearing no motion, Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have a resolution. I'm sending it forward, and I ask that it be read.
Senator, would you like to change your order of business?
I move that the Senate move back to the order of business of resolutions.
Hearing no objection, the Senate will go back to the order of business of resolution. Please send your resolution forward. Madam Secretary, please read the resolution.
Senate Resolution Number 3, be it resolved by the Senate that the Secretary of the Senate inform the House of Representatives that the Senate, having been duly convened as provided by Article 3, Section 32 of the Constitution, made no motion to override the governor's veto of Conference Committee Substitute Number 2, House Committee Substitute, Senate Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 147, or Conference Committee Substitute, House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 202, or House Committee Substitute, Senate Bill 282, and Senate Substitute, Senate Bill 414, when the bills were called by the President.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that that resolution be adopted.
Senator from Boone County has moved for the adoption of Senate Resolution Number 3. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Hearing none, Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I close.
Recognize to close. Senator from Boone renews his motion for the adoption of Senate Resolution Number 3. All those in favor of that motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted Senate Resolution Number 3. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of introduction of guests.
The order, hearing no objection, the order of business shall be introduction of guests. The senator from the 14th district seemed to be the first audible senator member on his feet. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to recognize some special guests to my right and your left. We can recognize Mr. Zach Sept, Charles Dent, Jordan Runke, Brittany Fisher, Stephanie Church, all on behalf of St. Louis Community College, location in St. Louis. If you can recognize them in the chamber, I highly appreciate it.
Let's welcome the guests from the Senator of the 14th District to the Missouri Senate Chamber today. Senator from the 2nd.
Introduction of some very special guests.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. In the rear gallery, we have some guests from the Sporting St. Louis Academy girls soccer team. They are from St. Charles County. They took first place in their division in the United States Youth Soccer 2019 National President's Cup Championship in July. Their coaches are Lindsey Bryant, Brad Henderson, and Roger Uphoff, and I'd like to ask this body to make them feel welcome.
Would the guests of the Senate and the Second please rise, and would the Missouri Senate make these young ladies, their coaches, and chaperones feel welcome in our chamber today? Introduction of guests. Senator from the 5th.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, to my right and to your left, we have with us today Michelle Sherrod. She is going to be the next senator for the 5th Senatorial District. And I will hope that you all come to the side and introduce yourselves, because she's going to be serving alongside you all. Along with her is former State Representative Hope Whitehead. Can you please make them feel welcome? Thank you very much.
Let's welcome the guests of the Senator of the 5th District. Introduction of guests. Senator from the 5th.
Privilege.
Senator from the 5th District has requested a point of personal privilege. Senator, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I rise today to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves, who doesn't have a voice. They have been silenced by gun violence, silent by crime, silent by the defense of sounds going off on the streets, gun sounds throughout the city of St. Louis. Mr. President, make no mistake about it. The gun violence epidemic in the state of Missouri, especially in the city of St. Louis, is a public health crisis. Like any public health crisis, Mr. President, this epidemic has socioeconomic causes and impacts that must be taken into account. And it must be addressed through positive change when it comes to public policy. Changes I know we can work on together here in the state Senate. We can make it right for the men and women and the children who have lost their lives due to gun violence. Mr. President, since April of this year alone, at least 12 innocent children have died from gun violence in the city of St. Louis. In June, 4 children were killed by guns in a single weekend. More recently, Mr. President, Kennedy Powell was eating pizza with a friend outside of her home when she was shot in the back and killed by way of a drive-by shooting. She was just 3 years old. Journey Thompson, who was killed near a place where countless kids, families across Missouri find themselves most Friday nights at a high school football game. And guess what, Mr. President? Journey was only 8 years old. 8 years old. Imagine, if you will, your child being shot and killed, and you have to go identify your 8-year-old child with gunshot wounds in their body. These are just a handful of approximately 138 homicides in St. Louis already committed this year. Nearly all which was involving a firearm. And this public health crisis, Mr. President, is not just confined to the city of St. Louis. On the western side, Mr. President, on the western side of our state, there have been approximately 366 non-fatal shootings and 96 gun-related murders in Kansas City. Mr. President, that is approximately 146 shooting victims in the Kansas City area this year. And this year is not over. It's not over, Mr. President. Rural Missouri is not immune from the epidemic either. And when you take into account suicide by guns, rural Missouri is especially vulnerable, with the majority of suicides being with white men. white men alone. As a whole, the state of Missouri has the fifth highest gun violence rate in the United States of America, vastly outpacing the national average. And if the lives lost are not high enough of a cause for us in this chamber to take action, then at least, let's just consider the economic impact to violence in the state of Missouri. You see, Mr. President, $98 million in health care costs alone due to gun violence. $159 million in law enforcement and criminal justice expenses. Lost income. People are afraid to come downtown to the city of St. Louis to watch a ballpark game. People are afraid to hang out. They are afraid to hang out at the ballpark village because they fear for their lives. We are, in fact, losing revenue as a result of gun violence. And I must say, Mr. President, it's the taxpayers who's footing the bill due to gun violence. But I'm going to close with this here. I can empathize because I see it and I hear the gunshots each and every day in the St. Louis area. I'm asking you to not just sympathize, but empathize. While, and I've said it time and time again, while outstate are hunting animals with guns, humans are hunting humans with guns in the inner cities. And I am pleading with each and every one of you. See, I don't want to take away no one's Second Amendment right. What I want to reduce the amount of gun violence in the St. Louis area and throughout the state of Missouri. It's not about wanting to infringe on anyone's Second Amendment rights. I would never do that. But let's come with some common sense here. So I'm asking that you all join me and changing the narrative in the St. Louis area when it comes to gun violence. I'm not asking a lot. I'm asking it on behalf of the 13 children who were shot and killed who cannot speak for themselves. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. The order of business is introduction of guests. Senator from the 9th District.
Mr. President, is it appropriate for me to inquire of the senator from the 5th on her point of personal privilege?
Senator from the 5th, do you yield to an inquiry?
Thank you.
She does proceed.
So, as you indicated, we're having the same issue in the city of Kansas City. And in fact, it's not 97 homicides. As of yesterday, it's 103. Already for this year. And I want to briefly talk about decisions we make here in the Capitol, in this beautiful building of marble and all of this gold leaf. And sometimes we pass legislation here also with unintended consequences. And you and I feel the same way about not wanting to take away anyone's Second Amendment right for folks that are lawfully using firearms for recreation, for hunting, for many of those things that are used in rural or outstate Missouri. But you and I both know that guns are viewed and firearms are viewed very differently in urban areas where crime rates happen to be extremely high. I certainly hope that there can be some consideration in this body that can be given to those areas that happen to be struggling right now with gun violence. You know, we passed the constitutional carry. It went into effect, what, 2 years ago? And we pass legislation here all the time with unintended consequences. And I will tell you that I'm also pulling data from municipalities around the state, but certainly in Kansas City and other areas. After we instituted constitutional carry, there's evidence that the gun crimes in those areas went up. I'm sure that was not the intention of this body when we passed that legislation a few years ago. But it was one of the dangers that many of us feared, even at the time we were having discussions about it. So, in as much as we are in crisis in St. Louis and in Kansas City, I hope that in the coming days that there is an opportunity for us to collect data, to hear from some of the entities, to hear from law enforcement, to hear from local sheriff departments on how certainly at least that legislation from 2 years ago has impacted where we are today. But also other things that could be considered, while maybe there's some gray area or some middle ground so that we can make sure that folks that are using firearms and guns lawfully are not impacted by it, but will still allow us to be able to have some leeway in figuring out the problem we're having for those same items that happen to be violent and dangerous in some areas and nonviolent and used for recreation in others.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that we can have some fruitful conversation. I'm wanting to be a part of the solution,
yeah,
not a part of the problem.
Right.
And I think both of us agree, as we've said many times, that I don't have any interest in taking any rights away from those that are lawfully using them in my area as well. So I hope that is a conversation that we can begin to have and really begin to collect data, evidence, have discussion on how we move to a place that maybe there's some agreeable space that will allow us to do some additional things in our areas that won't necessarily affect the others.
You know, I know that, you know, in this body, in this chamber, we don't always agree.
Right, of course.
You know, we tend to agree to disagree without being disagreeable, and sometimes we're disagreeable without agreeing. But I do believe that this is a common cause.
Of course.
This is a common purpose that I believe we can all get behind when it comes to reducing gun violence. And I am hopeful. The media called me today and they were like, oh, do you think the Republicans are really going to do something? Oh, I mean, how do you feel? Do you think they're going to do something? You asked them if they would do an interim committee. I said, I am confident that my colleagues will listen to the voice of reasoning.
Right. For me, it's not even about press or media. It's really about saving lives and trying to tackle head-on an issue that we happen to be having that really is a public health crisis.
That's right.
And really does provide danger for those that live in areas that are law-abiding citizens going about their way. And I will tell you that in my neighborhood, my subdivision, I have a subdivision of folks that happen to be, oh, I don't really want to bring income and socioeconomics into this, but let me say this. It is not uncommon at all for us to hear gunshots on any day, certainly on the weekends. We hear them every weekend in my area.
I mean, they shoot like AK-47s, girl.
Oh,
I mean, Senator,
pow, 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 pow. Not like pow, pow, pow.
Yeah, I mean, AK-47s,
right.
AR-15s.
Right.
I mean, I can show you a video right now, these little kids with the AR-15. I'm going to show it offline. But they are walking around with AR-15s.
Yeah, they are. And in fact, there was a picture
guns?
That was posted actually in St. Louis of a person that had, was it an AR-15? That there was the... They were having the event over at the Galleria Mall.
Yeah.
They were having the protest out there, and clearly firearms there, weapons there that clearly were not appropriate for people who were wanting to come together peacefully, which is what many of us support when we support protests.
And Senator, let me say this here. Make no mistake about it. You know, we're not going to say that gun violence, let me just say this. There are a lot of socioeconomic issues
that plague the
inner city youth.
Right, we know that.
And it's not just, I mean, education is a factor. Lack of education, poverty. It's a lot that goes into it, you know, and I think that if we can get together and put together an interim committee, we can hear from every sector.
Right.
From the educational experts to those individuals that study in sociology to the law enforcement community.
Right.
Doctors who's dealing with children with gunshot wounds. I mean, just hear from everyone. And so that they can begin to tell the criminal justice department out of SLU. We can have individuals coming in from all over the place to give us ideals and concepts and research as to what it will take to reduce the amount of gun violence. And that's the least we can do.
Right.
Let
me say this and then we'll finish. Even as of 2 years ago, with law enforcement having the ability to pull over folks or address folks that they know should not have firearms, okay? The folks that don't have guns are typically not the folks who go get a permit, okay? Now that no permit is required, there's nothing law enforcement can do about those folks until they commit the crime.
At that
point, the crime is already committed. So it is. It's a real serious issue for our areas. It was 2 years ago, but now we see some of those things coming, some of the fears we had coming to fruition, and I believe they're well documented within law enforcement in those areas. So those are some of the things that I would like for us to be able to look at, too. Right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you for the
inquiry.
The order of business is introduction of guests. Senator from Andrew.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, may I inquire of the senator from Buchanan, 34th District?
Senator from Buchanan's 34th District, do you yield to an inquiry?
Senator from Platt does yield to an inquiry.
Both senators from Platt and Buchanan yield. You may proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator, for taking the inquiry. Just was inquiring, I was curious as to what emblems you have on your tie today.
Well, yes, thank you for noticing. This is a beautiful black and gold tie.
Beautiful black and gold tie.
It was actually lent to me by the chief of staff for the junior senator from St. Charles. And it bears the emblem of the Missouri Western Griffin, which, as you know, is a great university that is in my district, in Buchanan County portion of my district.
It is a fine institution of higher education, as well as one that happens to reside in my senatorial district. And that would be Northwest Missouri State University, which is the multiple-time champion, football champions in NCAA Division II.
And I notice you don't have a green tie on today.
You know, I was remiss in bringing my green tie. I do most certainly have a green tie with emblems representing Northwest Missouri State University's bear paws. Yeah, the paws of a bearcat. Yeah. And it is a fine institution, as well as your institution is. And we have a friendly rivalry going on there that has been out there for many years, might I say. And the rivalry between Missouri Western State University and the University of Northwest Missouri State University.
It has. It's been a very interesting rivalry, sports rivalry.
It's sports rivalry. And, might I say, you approached me earlier this year with a friendly endeavor, let's say, that, might I say, I would probably be happy that any of the other senators who have institutions of higher education in their districts might also want to consider a similar type of wager with me in the near future. But that wager was at the game of Northwest Missouri State University and Missouri Western State University. The friendly wager happened to be that we are both very proud of our institutions of higher education, and that the one whose team won that contest would get to recite, or have the other individual get to recite, the fight song of the winning team on the Senate floor.
That is it.
And I appreciate, because you brought that wager to me, and a wonderful wager. And might I guess, I say once again, I would love to extend that opportunity to other institutions of higher education, maybe Central Missouri State University.
The senator from Boone Southeast. Just chuckled. I think he's ready to take you up on that offer. I like his odds, by the way.
But the game was held last week, wasn't it, Senator?
The game was last week, and it was, I'll tell you this, Senator, you were very confident going into that game. Nay, I say cocky going into that game. And some of that is a bit justified. Your Northwest Missouri Bearcats certainly have an esteemed record in Division II football. But, Senator, remind me and the body, when we were with about 10 minutes left in the fourth quarter of that game, what did the scoreboard look like for the Northwest Missouri Griffins?
I have to admit, there was a modicum of time that I was a bit worried about our friendly wager of our two fine institutions of higher education.
You did. In fact, Senator, it was a cool day that day, and I think you were beginning to perspire just a little bit.
I was sweating just a bit, yeah. But it did not last long. What was the final outcome of that endeavor and adventure?
The Missouri Western Griffins fell to your Northwest Missouri Bearcats in a nail biter of a game.
It was.
I always love an underdog
game,
though, and the underdog almost was the overdog in that game.
Yeah. But that, and it really was. It was a friendly wager. I had a good time joining with you on that opportunity. Thank you for bringing that forth. It really was. It magnified the enjoyment that we have and the pride that we have in both institutions in the great Northwest part of the state that do a fine job of educating our children, our youth regionally, as well as across the state. But with that,
I intend to keep my word.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. President. I'm done with my inquiry.
Further to go. Come on, Bearcats, fight. You Bearcats, fight
Mr.
on to victory.
Senator from Platt, are you
Mr.
seeking
President.
Recognition? You currently Mr. President, are standing
I,
on the
Mr.
floor
President,
by yourself.
I seek recognition.
Who would you
may
like?
May I inquire from the Senator from Andrew?
Senator from Andrew, I would remind both the senators from Platt and Andrew that Constitution specifically points out that we only contemplate vetoed bills, and the discussion of sports gambling will have to wait till another part of session. Please proceed.
Okay, Senator, I'm sorry. I thought you had my
Well, I think there was there.
Yeah, we
a,
do
a
need
part,
to
a part of the friendly wager was yes. that perhaps I had to recite something for losing my side of the wager. Come on, Bearcats, fight. You Bearcats, fight. On to victory. Hail the green and white, best in history. Come on, Bearcats, fight. You Bearcats, fight. Proud, brave, and strong we will stand. Our glorious colors raised triumphantly across the Missouri land.
A fine rendition, Senator. Fine rendition. And I certainly appreciate the... I certainly appreciate the vigor as to how you recited that fight song. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator.
And an enjoyable time I think both of us have had. So,
Senator from Franklin.
Mr. President, could I inquire from the Senator from Platt?
Senator from Platt, do you yield?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
Senator, I enjoyed your rendition of the Bearcat fight song, but is there a chance that we could just have a little more enthusiasm, you know?
Now, by enthusiasm, I don't know if you're referring to the fact that it was in the spoken word versus singing, because we did consult the Senate rules, and we were very... I know that we had a current colleague of ours and a former colleague who may have sung on the floor of the Senate, and that was perhaps frowned upon by the chair at the time.
I think I remember that.
So I was here. You mean singing? I am just simply trying to abide by the rules of decorum set by the body.
I appreciate you abiding by the rules and honoring the wager that you had. Obviously, it must have been a difficult one for you to have to stand up and recite the rendition of the Bearcats.
It was quite humiliating, Mr. President.
Well, thank you for that. But a little enthusiasm would have been appreciated. Thanks.
The order of business while we're waiting for messages from the House is introduction of guests. Senator from Newton.
To introduce special guests.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. To your front and behind me, we have the, dropping it on the floor here, sorry. We have the American Scandinavian Student Exchange with us today and would like the body to make them feel welcome.
Would the guests of the Senate of Newton County please rise, and would the Missouri Senate make them feel welcome today? The order of business is introduction of guests. Senator from Newton.
President, I would also like to introduce another set of special guests.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. Again, in front of you and behind me, we have students from Stockton High School with us today, and would like the body to make them feel welcome also, please.
Would the students from Stockton please rise, and would the Missouri Senate make them feel welcome today? Senator from Dallas.
Thank you, Mr. President. May I inquire from the senator from Jasper?
If we could get a little order in the chamber, it seems to be getting a little bit loud. Senator from Jasper and Newton County, do you yield to an inquiry?
I yield.
He does. Proceed.
Thank you. Senator, thank you so much for introducing my students. I did not realize they were there. Stockton is in my area.
I just realized as I was talking that, Senator, that I have Dade County, and I think the representative who shot me the note just thought that, you know, seeing I have Dade, they was thought Stockton, and as I started saying, it's like, wait a minute, Stockton is north of my north boundary, so I do apologize
for hogging in on
your introduction.
I did not know they were going to be in the chamber, and so I appreciate you doing that for me, and I would also like to welcome them to the Senate chamber. Thank you, Senator. Oh,
thank you for forgiving me.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Without objection, the Senate will go to the order of business of announcements.
Hearing no objection, the order of business shall be announcements. The Senator from Barry County.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Senate Interim Committee on Drug Transparency will meet upon adjournment from veto session at 1:15 p.m. in SCR 1. If this hearing is not completed by the time we are called into extra session at 2 p.m., the committee will reconvene following adjournment from session. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements. Senator from Franklin.
Mr. President, the Committee on Gubernatorial Appointments will convene tomorrow upon adjournment. We have a multitude of appointees that we were going through, but it will be upon adjournment tomorrow morning. At recess, we will be convening. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Further announcements. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have an announcement.
Proceed.
Thank you, Mr. President. For the benefit of the body, I'm going to make a motion to read some messages from the House, and then I will be making a sine die motion for our veto session. We will come back in at 2 p.m. for the continuance of our special session, just so everyone is clear on the timing. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would you inquire from the Secretary of the messages from the House, and if so, I ask that they be read.
The Secretary has confirmed there are messages from the House. Madam Secretary, please read those messages.
Mr. President, I'm instructed by the House of Representatives to inform the Senate that the House has taken up and adopted House Resolution 1. Also, Mr. President, House Resolution Number 1, be it resolved that the Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives of the 100th General Assembly, first regular session, inform the Governor and the Senate that the House is duly convened and is now in session in the 2019 constitutional veto session and ready for consideration of business.
Senator from Boone.
Thank you, Mr. President. No further business coming before the body. I move that the Senate of the veto session of the first regular session of the 100th General Assembly stand adjourned, sine die, pursuant to the Constitution.
You've heard the motion from the Senator of Boone County. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The Senate shall stand adjourned, sine die, from the veto session of the 100th General Assembly, pursuant to the Constitution.